Our next guest is a prolific writer who has some strong feelings about the directions in which literature should be heading. And just a little hint, we're not quite there yet. David Shields is the Milliman Distinguished Writer in Residence at the University of Washington and the author of 14 books, including his most recent work, which is entitled How Literature Saved My Life. He's speaking tonight at 7 p.m. in Wells Hall on the MSU campus, and he joins me now to talk a little more about writing and literature. Welcome to East Lansing, David Shields.
Thanks, Mark. Very good to be here.
Very nice to see you. In your project, as you call it, you have interesting ideas about narrative, about the ways that stories can be told. Was this the result of some degree of frustration with traditional ways of telling stories?
I would say yes. I even talk about it at length in the book. I talk about how that I began as a novelist. I've written three novels. I was trying to write a fourth novel. This was maybe 15 years ago. And I found myself extraordinarily bored with the conventions of the novel. And I took a strong left turn into what I call literary collage. And that is what I have been writing over the last 15 years. I've become convinced that the conventions of conventional storytelling no longer capture what it feels like to be alive now. They seem to me, in many ways, the conventions of the 19th century. The glacial pace of the conventional novel, the foregrounding of setting as if where we live matters as much to us as it did to Balzac, a kind of Freudian psychology that doesn't take advantage of what we know about behavior through cognitive science, and above all, a sense that the world makes sense, that God's in his heaven organizing life, and that we can write a sort of Dickensian or Tolstoyan novel in which everything all coheres.
Was there a model for this kind of approach in your head? You have pointed out, for example, that Shakespeare openly acknowledged that he lifted from Plutarch. James Joyce, you refer to as a scissors and paste man or something like, and he acknowledged that he himself was one of those kinds of people. Are there examples of what you are yearning for here that are already in play?
Absolutely. And in many ways, I would argue it goes back to ancient civilization. I would say Heraclitus's Fragments are very much like this. I think Blaise Pascal's Pensées are like this. Lawrence Stern's Tristram Shandy, in many ways, the first novel is like this. In many ways, I'm trying to recover a very alive literary tradition that goes back millennia and try to apply it now to convey what it's like to live at ground level now. I also have many contemporary writer friends, fellow travelers, fellow collagists who are doing very similar things. I think of Maggie Nelson, Amy Fusselman, Sarah Manguso, Simon Gray, Spalding Gray, David Markson, J.M. Coetzee. There's a whole gaggle of us who, to me, are trying to push the art form forward. You know, art, like science, should progress. Culture changes. Forms die. Art moves forward. And, you know, as V.S. Naipaul said, if you want to write seriously, you have to be willing to break the forms.
Well, for our listeners who are acclimated to the conventions as you describe them, can you and who may be unfamiliar with some of the writers that you've just mentioned, can you give us some idea of a result? Can you talk in even general terms about the effect of this kind of literature?
Sure. I think a good example would be a book I seem to like to mention a lot because it so perfectly exemplifies what I'm talking about. And that's a short work of nonfiction, a work of what I call collage book-length essay by Maggie Nelson called Bluets, spelled B-L-U-E-T-S. It's a very short book. Many of these books I'm championing, the books I tend to write and read and teach tend to be quite brief. And Maggie's book, as is mine, as are many of these books, is a short book. It's about 120 pages. It's built up about 240 prose fragments. And I think to the casual reader, it might look like a writer's diary or a writer's journal, but it has three specific strands. One strand throughout the book is about Maggie Nelson's obsession, believe it or not, with the color blue, that she talks on and on about how she's obsessed with the color blue. And you might say, yawn, that doesn't interest me. But she connects her obsession with the color blue to her grief over her incapacity to get over the end of a particular love affair. And then there's a third strand, in many ways the most interesting strand of the book, has to do with her sadness about her friend who has recently become a quadriplegic through a car accident. And you might think, what does the color blue have to do with the end of a love affair, have to do with becoming paralyzed? But what she does quite magically and subtly and brilliantly and beautifully is she shows you how these three separate aspects of human life are all connected. That she's asking terribly important questions such as, why are we so sad? Why is the human animal so melancholy? How do we deal with loss? How do we deal with the ultimate loss that is death? What I so love about these books is they ask, in a very direct way, the most fundamental questions about what we're doing on planet Earth.
Do you find yourself disheartened at all by the immense success of more standard storytelling? Are you disheartened by the wild success of the Harry Potter series, for example? Do you find you as encouraged as you are by this, as enthused as you are by this other form, this advocacy mm-hmm. of this other form? Is the flip side of that some disheartenment of at immense success for more standard storytelling?
Well, not exactly. I mean, my daughter's 20, and she grew up with the Harry Potter series, and I would go at midnight at 12:01 to the bookstores, you know, to buy her those books, and she was dressed up as Hermione or whatever. It was delightful, and she came to learn to read through the Harry Potter series. She's a total, you know, Harry Potter kid who grew up with those seven books, and as I've been traveling around the country over the last 3 months, talking about my book, the books people are reading on airplanes, I promise you, are not How Literature Saved My Life. They're big, baggy, triple-decker novels. That's what people like to read. I mean, I'm that sort of Ralph Nader candidate who knows he's not going to win, but who's trying to push the discussion forward. An earlier book of mine, Reality Hunger, A Manifesto, I think has altered to a degree the way that people talk about nonfiction, and How Literature Saved My Life is an attempt to, in a way, take the ideas I talked about in Reality Hunger and apply them directly to a specific book. But I'm trying to alter the conversation and push things forward.
What do you see as the writer's main function in society, larger society, right now?
Well, I really like this idea of David Foster Wallace, who was asked, what's so great about writing? And he said, we're existentially alone on the planet. You can't know what I'm thinking and feeling, and I can't know what you're thinking and feeling. And literature at its best is a bridge constructed across the abyss of human loneliness. And I take that idea very seriously. The work I love, the work I try and do and read and teach and celebrate is work that absolutely foregrounds the question of how the writer solved the problem of being alive. The work I love does nothing less.
David Shields' most recent book is called How Literature Saved My Life. If you'd like to hear more, he is speaking tonight at 7 p.m. in Wells Hall on the MSU campus. Thanks for joining us today, David.
Thank you, Mark.